Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dating and the Single Parent. Are you ready to date? Talking with the kids. Avoiding a big mistake. Finding lasting love. By Ron L. Deal. Foreword by Dennis Rainey. Narrated by Christopher P. Brown. Publisher's Note. This audiobook includes bonus material. Please visit Tantor.com and type Dating and the Single Parent into the search box. Follow the link to the book's page. Then, under the supplemental content section, please enter the access code FAITH and then click the Unlock button to access the bonus material. The code should be entered in all lowercase letters. All discussion questions and appendices referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Foreword. Like many single people, you probably long to share your life with someone. Perhaps your heart jumps and you get all tingly when a prospect comes along. But what of your parental heart? As a single parent, or the dating partner of a single parent, you intuitively know that dating is different because someone else is involved, the kids. Dating isn't just about the two of you, making dating and a potential marriage more complicated than ever. And because kids are involved and the stakes are higher this time around, I'm confident you want to make wise dating decisions. As a parent, you may wonder how dating will affect your children. Are they ready? Are you ready? If you're dating someone with kids, you wonder what to expect and how to tell if you can make a blended family work. This book will answer those questions and more. 42% of adults in the U.S. have a step relationship. At Family Life's Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaways, we've found that up to 30% of couples who attend are in blended families. But sadly, 2/3 of marriages where one or both partners bring children into the relationship end in divorce. In view of this need, Family Life has been delighted to welcome Ron Deal to our ministry. A licensed marriage and family therapist who has over 2 decades of experience working with blended families, Ron will reveal why relationships with kids in the mix are so much more complex. And he'll show you what you can do as you begin a relationship to navigate those difficulties and prepare for a successful marriage. Ron shares that coupleness and familyness are not the same thing. As good as a dating relationship might feel, it's nothing without familyness. And ultimately, familyness is what creates a legacy. This book will help you see beyond the tingly feelings to determine if a dating partner will help you form a healthy family. If you're a single parent, Ron's going to ask you practical questions to see if you're emotionally and relationally ready to date. He will share with you conversations you need to have with your kids before you date and once the dating has started. And he will help you decide when and how to introduce kids to the person you may be more than just casually interested in. If you're dating someone with kids, Ron will prepare you for the unique family dynamics that might otherwise blindside you after the honeymoon's over. He'll explain why you can't expect that marrying someone with kids will instantly give you the family you may have always wanted. Ron will also discuss the yellow and red lights to watch out for in the relationship and reveal the traps of online dating. He has some hard truths to tell parents. For example, even though the person you're dating may feel like your life partner, your children may not be ready to share you with them. He will also encourage you to consider whether dating is beneficial for you and the kids right now, and tell you why and when it might be better to wait. For over 36 years, my wife, Barbara, and I have been working with families, equipping people with the skills they need for marriage. We know storms are inevitable. It's critical to determine whether the person you're dating is someone who's going to lay a firm foundation with you to withstand them. Ron can help you anticipate rough weather, particular to blended families, and give you wisdom on knowing if your dating partner will help you survive the turbulent storms that you will encounter. Ron will equip you with what you need to establish a solid foundation and build your house on the rock of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Proverbs says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." Chapter 1, verse 5. In this book, you'll find invaluable spiritual guidance from one of America's leading blended family experts. Listen to Ron's advice and become wise. Dr. Dennis Rainey, President, Family Life, April 2012. Preface. Promise. This book will tell you the hard truth about single-parent dating. Side effects may include greater discernment about the path to marriage, finding lasting love, creating family unity, and avoiding big mistakes for you and the kids. Please be advised, not all fantasies will become reality. Get-rich-quick books promise a fast track to wealth beyond your dreams with little risk, little effort, and no time required. Dating books often promise the same. Find lasting love in 3 easy steps, no risk required. I refuse to do that to you. I respect you and care about your kids too much to tell you everything you want to hear and offer simplistic advice. If you want to get rich, you need to apply wise investment practices and self-discipline over an extended period of time. If you want to date well with children in the picture and make a solid decision about getting married, you need to gain wisdom about the dating process, know the risks and challenges for both you and your children, and make careful decisions over an extended period of time. This book promises to tell you the truth about single-parent dating. In fact, some of you will find hard truths you don't want to hear, and you'll be irritated with me for saying them. Please know, these hard truths are intended for your benefit and the well-being of your children. If family unity is the wealth you ultimately desire, listen to the entire book and be willing to receive the hard truths. Relational wealth will come about as a result. For 20 years, I have been working with step families as a therapist, conference speaker, and ministry leader. The most common comment I hear from married couples in blended families is, "We had no idea what we were getting into." After listening to this book, that won't be you. Introduction. Striving for Love. The Daily, an online and Apple iPad news service, reported that on March 19, 2011, Forrest Lunsway, age 100, and Rose Pollard, age 90, qualified for a Guinness World Record as the oldest couple ever to marry. Rose's advice to dating couples? Take your time and get to know one another. Get to know if you like all the things that person stands for, if they have the same values. I guess she meant that, because the couple dated for 30 years. No rush to marriage here. And then married on Forrest's 100th birthday at their local senior center in Orange County, California. People the world over, no matter their age, believe in romantic love. For example, while more and more Americans say that marriage is becoming obsolete for society a fewer number think marriage is obsolete for them. Most people still want to get married. We believe in marriage, strive for it, long for it, and actively pursue it. We are created in the image of a loving God with the deepest desire to, like Him, love and be loved. This includes, in general, having loving relationships with extended family and friends, and specifically includes the desire to mate with another in an exclusive pair bond. God Himself pointed out that the first thing in creation that wasn't good was that man was alone. Keep in mind that man wasn't completely alone. He had complete access to and oneness with God, but apparently that wasn't sufficient given man's design. Adam needed something else. We, male and female, were made with the need to connect and be partnered with a member of the other gender. Adam's same existential ache to be partnered with someone is felt by the unmarried today. It's what opens us to romance and pulls us toward the idea of a pair bond relationship. And it's what gives us what I jokingly call marital amnesia. That is, the willingness to date again, even after a painful divorce. LOL. People in the midst of a horrible divorce who vow never again to be vulnerable to rejection often find themselves a few years or even months later falling for another person. The possibility of love leads us to temporarily forget what it's like to be in pain, and forever invites us to look with optimism toward a future with love. The sense of aloneness pulls us toward love, but if the ache of loneliness pulls, the ache of pain pushes. The pit of loss, whether stemming from a divorce, the death of a spouse, or the rejection of a boyfriend/girlfriend with whom you share a child, is dark and easily overwhelming, and no one wants to stay there long. In the pit, depression, sadness, guilt, devastation, rejection, and a sense of being lost abound. Needless to say, these are unwelcome infections, and if you are not careful, your medication of choice will be romance. Notice, I didn't say love. I said romance. Romance and infatuation have an intoxicating effect that gives the appearance of fixing pain, and boy, is it attractive. If there is one clear vulnerability in life, it is anything or any feeling that promises to lift you out of the pit of pain. This may be drugs or alcohol, pornography, religiosity, excessive work, anything that provides a rush of adrenaline, or a new relationship. The cocaine of attention seems to work wonders when all you know is the pit. But buyer beware, this drug has a short shelf life, and can ultimately cause more destruction. At some level, whether for God-given pull reasons or medicinal push ones, most single people are striving for love and shared romance with another person. Maybe you are just beginning to entertain the idea of dating and are hoping this book can help you navigate the terrain. Or maybe you have dated a few times, maybe even fell in love again, but found the experience confusing. One person said, "It's weird trying to figure out how to enter the dating world, and pretty depressing, to be honest. I feel like an awkward teenager all over again." Or perhaps you believe you've already found the love of your life, and you're wondering about your kids. In any case, this book will help. Single-parent dating includes complicated questions. So far, my kids and I have survived our loss. How will the transition to my dating complicate our survival? How do I know I'm ready, or that my kids are ready for me to start dating? What if the person I date brings harm to my kids? How would I know if they are a sexual predator? How is dating or marriage going to affect my kids and my parenting? How do I introduce someone to my kids? And what if they don't like each other? How will marriage and blended family living impact my kids? And how can I guarantee that I or they won't be hurt again? The person dating a single parent has questions too. How do I date in a crowd, i.e. with kids in the picture? How do I make a good first impression on the kids? What do I do if they don't like me or give me dirty looks? If I fall in love with their parent, what would my role be as a step-parent? Could I handle it? What's the X factor? How do I deal with their ex, and how much of a negative influence will they be? These and many other questions will be addressed in this book. Considered together, these questions illuminate a crucial insight for both single parents and those dating them that we will return to again and again. When kids are involved, dating is not just about finding a mate, but beginning a family. If you are dating a single parent, when listening to sections of this book written specifically to single parents, be sure to assess whether the person you are dating is giving proper consideration to the concepts. If not, invite them to listen to the book along with you. If they continue to ignore the wisdom shared, don't assume your goodwill can make up for their short-sightedness. The catch: competing attachments. In adoptive and biological families, couples come together before children enter the picture. When coupleness precedes familyness, as I like to say, the marriage serves as the source and foundation of the family unit. Here's why that's important. When marriage forms the foundation of the family, every other relationship in the family is an outgrowth of the marriage and systemically supports it and lives in harmony with it. When children are born to a couple, the resulting parent-child relationships don't intrinsically compete with the couple's marriage. They may vie for time and energy, but their very presence doesn't inherently compete with the marriage itself. Parent-child relationships naturally draw strength and security from the marriage, and in turn feed and support the marriage. When the marriage precedes children, family attachments mutually strengthen and feed one another. However, when a single parent moves toward a love relationship with someone who is not the child's parent, a competing attachment is formed. To the child, the parent's love and increasing dedication to a new partner do not naturally strengthen the child's relationship with the parent, but compete with it. Likewise, step-parents often feel left out and perhaps jealous when their spouse spends time with their stepkids. Because familyness predated coupleness, relationships compete. Here's another way to articulate the contrast. In first families, everyone is rooting for the couple's success, especially the kids. When mom and dad are happy, life is as it should be. When parents are at odds with each other, kids in biological families hope they'll resolve their issues and live at peace. But in blended families, children aren't as invested in the success of the couple as the couple is, and, on occasion, they are dead set against it. Relationships in biological families naturally synergize and support each other. New relationships in blended families naturally compete with the emotional attachments that preceded the new marriage. That's why I always cringe when I hear a single parent say one reason they want to find a new partner is so their children will have a father or a mother. While it's true that a stepfather, for example, can eventually fill some of the masculine gaps in a child's life, a mother's hope that a stepfather will fill the daddy hole in a child's heart is misguided. She needs to understand that bringing a man into her children's lives very well may destabilize, at least for a time, her children's world, not bring stability to it. At a minimum, it will decentralize them from receiving her full attention, a significant change for children who have already experienced great loss, and may make them feel in competition with their stepfather. Recognizing this truth will better inform your striving for love. Embracing this truth as a single parent will lessen your expectations of instantly becoming a happy family, lower your stress about finding someone who will fill the parental gaps in your child's life, and, hopefully, help you to relax about finding a mate. Embracing this truth as someone dating a single parent will help you not feel rejected if the kids are slow to warm up to you. It's still difficult, but at least you know this response is common, and not necessarily a personal rejection of you. Not recognizing this truth sets you up, whether you are the single parent or dating partner, to send me an email of confusion and frustration. Your wisdom shared on Facebook/SmartStepFamilies. What do you wish you had known before getting remarried? I was prepared. I had read the books and intellectually understood the process. But living as a blended family is infinitely tougher than I thought it would be. Lara S. I wish that I hadn't tried to replace my kid's dad with my husband. I thought that since their dad was literally an absentee father, their stepdad could become their real dad, with all the rights and privileges that come with being a biological father. Marilyn E. Wish I had known how hard it was going to be and could have prepared my heart for this hurt better. Teresa S. I wish I would have known how hurtful stepkids can be and the damage they do on a guilt-ridden father. Read, get counseling, attend a great church, and take the online couple checkup before the I do's. Sophia H. My recurring email. Have you ever had a recurring nightmare? I get a recurring email. You can fill in the specifics, but the basic structure is the same. Melissa's email is a good example. Kevin and I have been married almost 2 years. We did not have any premarital preparation. We decided to marry a few months after we met. I have 3 sons, ages, and Kevin has 2 kids, ages. I thought this would be easy because we felt right for each other. Boy, was I wrong. Absolutely dead wrong. We have struggled for 2 years. We are so in love with each other, but we can't come to terms on matters of parenting and step-parenting, and the boys are jealous of my relationship with Kevin. I wish we would have waited a little longer to marry. Can you help us? Melissa. Now, here's what you need to know. Kevin and Melissa are good people. In fact, they are godly, upstanding, going-to-heaven people. They just didn't know what they didn't know. And they let the push of ache, trying to run from the pit of pain, and pull of love, the desire for attachment, dictate their dating and decisions about marriage, instead of letting wisdom do that for them. In short, they fell prey to their own blinders. Regrettably, I have to pause and share this irony of ironies. Just now, as I was writing this section, I actually got another version of this recurring email. Except this time, it ended with, "I just got served divorce papers." married just 14 months, and their blended family is over. My heart breaks for them. It doesn't have to end this way for you. Wisdom and Folly. The first 9 chapters of Proverbs in the Bible present a contrast between those who embrace the wisdom of God and those who reject it for foolishness. The 2 sides of this contrast are personalized as wisdom and folly, who call out to and try to entice passers-by. The contrast is profound. Wisdom provides understanding and the knowledge of God. Folly provides simple-mindedness and a lack of judgment. Wisdom provides victory, a shield of protection and peace to the soul. Folly leaves one exposed to evil and filled with anxiety. Wisdom offers discretion to walk straight paths of blessing and rescues one from lustful and adulterous enticements. Folly leaves one to walk in dark ways and fall prey to the influence of lust. Wisdom extends life and brings prosperity as one wins the favor of both men and God. Folly offers a short and difficult, undisciplined life. I beg you to heed the call of wisdom regarding your relationships, your family decisions, and your parenting, or you might as well start drafting your email to me now. Folly offers no discernment. It is only interested in pursuing the passions of the moment and the quick fixes of infatuation and fantasy. Folly will crumble at the feet of blended family challenges because it refuses to take a hard look at reality. It will only bring about difficult paths for your life. Wisdom, on the other hand, considers life and love through the lens of eternity and bases decisions about dating and marriage not solely on coupleness alone, but on familyness as well. I implore you, dedicate yourself to listening to this entire book, taking its wisdom to heart, because it is uncommon. Wisdom usually challenges. Likewise, this book will challenge your thinking, your emotions, your walk with the Lord, your parenting, and your pursuit of love. Take it to heart, discuss it with friends, and consider its insights. I certainly don't know how this wisdom will impact your life or future decisions. That is for you and God to work out. But I do believe whatever it brings, it will be for the best. Kids Talk. What was my dad thinking? He found this woman online and fell head over heels for her without even knowing her. He has ignored every piece of advice about dating he gave me when I was a teenager. I'm losing respect for him, and I don't trust her. Remarriage Advocate? On one occasion, while conducting a media interview, a host introduced me as an advocate for remarriage. After the interview, when we had time to talk, I clarified what wisdom has taught me about blended families. I'm not an advocate for remarriage, I shared. I am most definitely an advocate for first families, because that is God's design, and what He designs is always for our best. When biological families split, I continued, I advocate for reconciliation. Forgiveness and reconciliation are very close to the heart of God, and when possible, reconciling and creating a God-honoring marriage always serves the couple and children's best interests. I do recognize that reconciling and creating a mutually loving and serving relationship is not always possible. When couples find themselves in a blended family, I am an advocate for helping them to honor their marriage covenant and become a model of God's love and healing grace. But, to be honest, I told the host, I really don't know what to advocate for when it comes to single parents. On one hand, remarriage and blended family living can be a positive, redemptive force in the lives of children and adults.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?